Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To trust in riches is to trust in a vapor that passes away. James talks a great deal about economic justice for the poor, saying that one day our gold and silver will not buy anything. Today, some stark lessons for a future that may be just around the corner. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. We turn to James chapter 5 and find warnings about money as we're preparing for the day of calamity.
The end of the day, the form of monetary investment that is most solid, gold and silver, will rust and it will not help you. By the way, the next verse says they cannot satisfy their hunger. You can't eat gold and silver. In the end, it will not save you. But these people were hoarders. And they acted as if, as long as we've got lots, as if it's going to last forever, or as if they aren't going to have to confront God in the day of judgment. That's the second danger, is to hoard their wealth. The third is misusing workers. Now we get to the whole issue of why James is so upset and uses such strong language. Because it's not just that they acted as if God didn't exist and they hoarded their wealth, but there was something else going on. They became rich by exploiting the poor. James says, verse 4, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 24 and elsewhere, and I'll simply paraphrase it for you, God very clearly says that if you have day workers, you see, in those days, there would be like a place where men would go where they could be hired for the day. It says clearly, pay them before the sun goes down because they are poor and they have families to feed and you need to make sure that you keep your promise to them. If you say that you're going to give them a denarius, they get a denarius at the end of the day, and do it before the sun sets. They need it for their families and for food. And these wealthy landowners didn't do that. They exploited the workers, they made money off of them, and then they didn't pay them. And God says that the cry of these workers has been heard by God. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. God is listening to all of this injustice. So it's one thing to be wealthy. It's another thing to be wealthy and having acquired your wealth by theft and robbery and fraud. And God is watching, said James. Wow. There's another danger, and that is the danger of personal ease. And you'll notice it there in the text. Verse 5, what were the wealthy doing? You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You know, you've got all this money. The people over there are starving, but you don't care about them. You're enjoying your luxury. The Greek text actually means living a life of softness. I think we understand that. Pretty cushy. But you don't care about the needs of others. No. And he says, you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. I remember, I'm a farm boy. We used to fatten calves for the day of slaughter. And what you do is you give them lots of food, lots of grain, hay that you know that they will like, and you just put it everywhere to remind them, eat whenever you want to. And they do, and they are fattened for the day of slaughter. James says that all of the things that you are doing are actually culminating to the day when God is going to judge you, and your judgment will be more severe because you exploited workers, you used your money on yourself, and you didn't care about anyone else, especially the poor, who were crying up to God, whom you defrauded. John MacArthur says, blind to heaven, deaf to warnings of hell, insensitive to the impending day of slaughter and judgment, the unrepentant, selfish, indulgent hoarders stumble blindly to their doom. That's why I entitled this message, The Day of Calamity. That day of calamity. Not a day of calamity for those of us who know Christ. I'll mention that in a moment. But there is a final warning. And by the way, notice what James says, verse 6. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. The Greek word condemned actually is a word that was used for the law courts. James is saying that, you used the courts against the poor. That's not a new idea, is it? Especially in this very litigious society where constantly we're in lawsuits. Everybody wants their own thing. I'll sue you because of this and this and this. And so what you're doing is you're using the courts to continue to oppress the poor. And he says, they do not resist you. And the reason is, how can they? Now, we read this through 21st century eyes, and we ask ourselves, why wasn't James telling them what to do? They should organize. They should go to court. They should have unions. And if they unionized, and unions have done a lot of good in terms of helping people to get what is their due, we may argue whether or not they've overstepped their boundaries, but basically a good concept. In those days, there wasn't anything like that. All that you had was crops. All that you had was day workers during the harvest time, during the planting, and oftentimes after those things were over, there wasn't much to do. They had no recourse at all. And James says, they're not resisting you, and you're taking advantage of them. And James appears to be very angry at what is happening because he knows how desperately wrong that is. There is a final danger, and that danger is, of course, the danger of eternal judgment. James warns about it, but I can't help but think of a picture in the book of Revelation. When you read this, it ought to take your breath away. This is the day when there are no more dollars, there are no more dimes, no more money, no more gold, no more silver, nothing else matters. It's the day when all the pieces get put back into the box. Listen carefully. This is the destruction of Babylon. Now, there are two Babylons. There's the religious Babylon, and then there's the political slash economic Babylon. This is what it says. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others. As she glorified herself and loved in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment. She says, I sit like a queen. I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. For this reason, God says, her plagues will come in a single day. And the kings of the earth who committed immorality with her and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off. Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore, cargoes of gold and silver and jewels and pearls and fine linen, purple cloth, scarlet, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, costly wood, bronze, and it goes on, wine, oil, flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, that is, human souls. And then the Bible says, the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand afar off in fear, fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud, alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold, with jewels and pearls. For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. Wow. You say, well, how can it happen in a single hour? We don't know how it'll happen in a single hour, but we could take it literally. And today, with technology, we can understand that very clearly. Cyber attack. Imagine all of the satellites being destroyed. Imagine an attack against our electronic world. Every computer, every cell phone, every means of communication suddenly destroyed totally. Everything would stop in its tracks. Why? God says, the day of judgment has come. The day of calamity is here. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I was hoping for something a little bit more optimistic and hopeful when I came to church today. Well, I know you were, and that's why James has you in mind, and so do I. James now is talking to believers in the midst of this situation. He's talking to those who have been wronged by others, and the wrong continues and will continue until they die. And James goes on to say these words, be patient, verse 7. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I want to be very sympathetic with those who have been wronged. Perhaps I'm speaking to people and you feel that injustice has been done to you at your job, in your vocation, or in other relationships. And of course, as we go through life, we should fix as many of these as we possibly can. But it's been my experience to realize that there are many people who do not receive justice in this life. And what James is saying is, the judge is at the door. There is the option of trusting God, and I trust that you will take that option, trusting God to bring about justice in situations that cannot be fixed here on earth. I've written a book entitled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. It includes the material that you have just heard. And I wrote it to encourage believers to help them to understand that God has a deeper purpose in all of our struggles. And if we are faithful, even if we don't see justice in this life, we will see it in the life to come.
How should a believer live in a world on the edge of calamity? Next time, more on our bottom line, be patient, for the Lord is coming. In the Bible, we see that all the saints experienced difficult times of sorrow, distress, and heartache. God often uses these times to prepare us for future ministry. And so, Pastor Lutzer has written a book on famines, deserts, and other hard places. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.